puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Away we go on a Monday night here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They're bilingual, our presenting sponsors of this show. All right, whew, catch your breath. What a weekend it was. We've got title winners. We had an unbelievable finish in the Premier League. So much going on that we have to talk about here tonight. Let me just let you know who the guests are tonight. From TV3 in Barcelona, we'll get a La Liga wrap-up. We'll talk some Kylian Mbappe as well. Plus Real Madrid ahead of the Champions League final against Liverpool. We'll talk to TV3's Jordi Sunyer, former BBC man. He's a Manchester City correspondent in the city of Manchester tonight. We'll also talk to Ian Cheeseman and get the mood from in the stadium. He was there at the game. There's a lot of interesting stuff with Ian Cheeseman here tonight. He's been a longtime Manchester City fan, but also a longtime commentator in Britain. So looking forward to these two great international guests. You only get them here on Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. All right, so we got the title winners. Premier League, it's Manchester City in incredibly dramatic fashion. La Liga with Real Madrid, Serie A with AC Milan, Bundesliga, Bayern Munich, Ligue 1, PSG. Just a remarkable finish in the Manchester City game. Now, I know a lot of people watched, you know, four different channels at once. I stuck to the City game because it was really all about City here, either winning it or losing it. Fourth title in five seasons for Pep Guardiola. Pretty remarkable. Huge parade today. Ilkay Gundogan that comes on, he gets the first goal in the 76th minute. And the next thing you know, in 5 minutes, you got three goals. Ilkay Gundogan, Rodri, and Gundogan again with the game winner after the pass from Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, this was just unbelievable drama. Once they pulled that goal back, you just kind of felt like everything was going to change. It was kind of rough up until that point for Manchester City. It wasn't the best of games for them. They ran into a very stout Aston Villa for a large majority of a game. But to hold these guys down for that long, it's a difficult ask. I don't think any question. So Guardiola becomes only the fourth manager in history to win four titles in 5 years, to go along with Sir Alex Ferguson, Bob Paisley, and George Ramsey from way, way back. So Saturday, you've got Liverpool-Real Madrid in the Champions League final. Remember, you go back to 2018 in Kiev in the Ukraine. Real Madrid were 3-1 winners. That was a game where Mo Salah, right before the World Cup, had a shoulder dislocated in the clash with Sergio Ramos. Mo Salah came out recently and said, quote, "I want to play Madrid. I have to be honest," he told BT Sports May 3rd. "City are a really tough team. We played against them a few times this season. But I think if you ask me personally, I would prefer Madrid because we lost to them in the final. I want to play against them and hopefully win against them." Valverde of Real Madrid has turned this into motivation. So there's a lot of things going on in the press right now. He says that Salah was disrespecting the badge. And if you know Salah, yeah, he probably wasn't. Leeds will stay up. That's a good one for Jesse Marsh, former Major League Soccer manager. Jack Harrison gets the game winner, former New York City FC Wake Forest player in the college game here in the U.S. Huge game winner for him over Brentford. And with that, Leeds is finalizing a deal now to bring Brendan Aaronson to play for Leeds United. All right, so Austin FC, 2-2 draw with Orlando City. Really poor start in this one, really poor goal to give away, kind of an inexplicable pass from Brad Stuver right to Orlando's Junior Urso. He hits Cara, it's 1-0. Maxi Arruti goes off the post in the 9th minute. Orlando City go up 2-0. The big man, Cara, occupying defenders. Ruan would get this goal. 57th minute, could have been 3-0. Junior Urso with a side volley, hit right at Brad Stuver. Stuver saves it. And then the free kick blocked by the wall. Here's the entry back into the game for Austin FC. Joe Dickerson, the referee, points to the spot. There's a red card to Schlegel. So back into the game you go. 2-1, Druisi goes right down the middle with the penalty. Now, I'll tell you, Pedro Galese dragged that right foot of his, and it went off his right foot into the roof of the net. He left that right foot in there as much as possible as it was going to his left. So it's 2-1. Then Orlando goes down to 9 men. Really stupid kicking out by Cesar Araujo. He made the tackle. It was a perfect play at that point. Then kicks out at Alexander Ring. 83rd, Diego Fagundes off the post, leading MLS in assists again. What a revelation Diego has been. This was wild. I mean, it was wild. You can't expect perfect games. And now this becomes a game you really should win, right? It's a game that you really have a staggering kind of start to, but now this becomes a game you should win. Kolmanic, who gets 10 crosses in, to number two. Yes, number two, Musa Djite, unmarked at the back post in stoppage time, grabs you the points. And you know what I loved about that? The first guy to get to him in the celebration was the rookie Kip Keller out of St. Louis. You know, the young guys supporting each other. You got to love that. Final whistle, three Orlando players sprint right for the referee, Joseph Dickerson, Oscar Perea upset about a corner call and some of the sending offs in this one. ATX, 71% of the possession. You know, look, a lot of this gets piled on. They're going to win the possession battle anyway, but a lot of this gets piled on when you go down to 9 men, 10 men, then 9 men. 22 shots to 12 in favor of Austin FC. 5 on goal for Verde, 7 on goal for Orlando City. 10 corners earned by Verde, 30 crosses, 10 of those coming from Kolmanic, who was just firing in cross after cross as Orlando City was trying to get out of there with a point. So now, ATX, 2 points behind LAFC. Next, you got LA. Now, I called the Houston-LA game this weekend. The LA Galaxy are a mess. They are a mess defensively in transition, and we know how good Austin FC is in transition. I don't know what Greg Vandy's going to do before this game, but in our pregame show before the Houston game, we highlighted that LA Galaxy is just staggering into games right now. They are really poor defensively right now. They gave up 3 goals against FC Dallas in a 3-1 home loss, all 3 coming in the first 23 minutes. Houston scored on them early. So this is a team in real trouble. This is a team that is there for the taking. And this is a team that I don't think any question right now going to LA. They've given up 6 goals in their last 2 home games. They are hurting right now. Austin FC, 2 points behind LAFC right now, and leading the league in goals scored with 27, 26 of those inside the 18, and leading the league in assists. So it's the highest scoring outfit in Major League Soccer. It goes to the LA Galaxy, who may right now be the worst team defensively in the league overall. All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back with TV3's Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona. Then we will go to Ian Cheeseman. The show, as always, is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. Look, if you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you're in need of a personal injury attorney, you call the Daspit Law Firm, 512-865-6710. 512-865-6710, bilingual. DaspitLawAustin.com. And a quick hit here for LamontBrands.com. Go there, get the Soccer Matters t-shirt, all proceeds to the Snowdrop Foundation, providing scholarships, awareness, fundraising to cancer patients, a 501c charity. Stay with us, more to come. Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas.
City still need 2 to make sure They're still winning the title at the moment on goal difference. They needed two goals in stoppage time that day against Queen's Park Rangers, and they got them. They need two goals here as well. Zinchenko into the area. Rodri!
All right, welcome back to The Horn in Austin, Texas. Tonight, a great opportunity here to catch up with a great friend. Before we get there, just remind you that our presenting sponsor is John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. They're bilingual, 512-865-6710. They get soccer on the airwaves. More importantly, if you get in an accident, any kind, car, boat, motorcycle, they're personal injury attorneys. They will handle your case, work for you 24/7. Nights and weekends. So a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And of course, we go to TV3's Jordi Sunyer. Everything La Liga, everything Barcelona, everything Real Madrid. There's no better guy to go to. Jordi, thank you so much as always for coming on. Always great to see you, hear you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, again, for having me on. Such a great pleasure, as always.
All right, so we got a couple of things to run down here in about 15 minutes. I'm going to start right with Kylian Mbappe. Is this the biggest tease in the history of soccer? Everybody thought he was going to Real Madrid. He's going to stay at PSG. He says it wasn't the right time for me to leave France. It sure sounded like it was the right time for the last year, all the things he was dropping. Real Madrid fans and executives must really be feeling like a forlorn lover.
Yeah, but I think this this failed signing of Kylian Mbappe for Real Madrid, his extension with Paris Saint-Germain, has finally been a state matter, a matter of country, because you could hear this Monday afternoon Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the PSG president, repeating a particular sentence saying, "This was very important for the French league and for the country to keep Kylian Mbappe playing in France, one of the best players, maybe the best player in the world right now. He's French, he was born in Paris, he has to play for Paris Saint-Germain. It's very important for the French league to have the best player in the world in order to get the French league among the best leagues in the world." So I think there has been such a huge pressure on Kylian Mbappe. Of course, they've tried to sell that it's not a money thing, it's a sporting thing. Nasser Al-Khelaifi was saying, Kylian has stayed because of our sporting project. We want to win, we want to keep winning French championships, but we will still be chasing the Champions League in the next years to come. And no other club offers the sporting conditions that Paris Saint-Germain can offer. Of course, there are clubs like Real Madrid, of course, that could pay more money to Kylian Mbappe, but they are trying to convince people that this is only a sporting matter. I'm not that sure. You know, in Spain, Florentino Pérez, the Real Madrid president, is known as a very powerful entrepreneur with very strong links to high-level, high-ranked politicians, men of state. He's such a powerful businessman. So until today, it seemed that everything that Florentino Pérez wanted to do, he really did it. And that's maybe the first time that someone slams the door on his face. And that has been surprising, of course, but because it seemed from a Spanish point of view that everything was arranged for Kylian Mbappe to go to Real Madrid. But I think there has been huge pressure from not only Paris Saint-Germain, but I think even the French Football League, the French sporting authorities, even French politicians, in order to keep Mbappe playing in France. So You get something extraordinary, how a transfer of a football player from one club to another can become a matter of state. That's, I think it's something extraordinary.
Yeah, and defines the league. I mean, listen, you've lived that with Cristiano Ronaldo moving from Real Madrid.
You've lived that
with Lionel Messi leaving Barcelona. So, you know, what was the fallout from those two guys leaving? Because those two guys really defined the league globally.
Yeah, that's the case. But you know, you may think that the French league has not the power to offer a good sporting project, a good financial project also to Kylian Mbappe. Right now, the French league is the fifth league in Europe after the Premier League, which is the first one, of course, the Spanish, the German, and the Italian championships. Paris Saint-Germain win, let's say, not easily, but have the means to win the Ligue 1 title, the Ligue 1 title each year with ease. So you don't really get that competition in French football for a club that also wants to rule in Europe, like Paris Saint-Germain. That's I think, a very important challenge. There's another side to this story, that maybe another thing that can convince or might have convinced Kylian Mbappe is, of course, you can win. You have more possibilities of winning the UEFA Champions League with Real Madrid. But what about winning the first Champions League for your club, for your home city club? Being a hero, for being a local guy born in Paris that wins the first ever Champions League for Paris Saint-Germain. If you look at it from a, let's say, a sentimental point of view, that can also be important for Kylian Mbappe. Of course, everyone is convinced, finally, it's a money thing. But I think they have also been able, Paris Saint-Germain and whoever has been involved in this situation, have been able to convince Kylian Mbappe also in sentimental terms. And of course, Mbappe is young, he's staying in Paris Saint-Germain until 2025. After then, Glenn, we'll see, because today, this Monday afternoon, Kylian Mbappe hasn't closed the door to Real Madrid. I think that maybe, I wouldn't say 3 years ago, three years from now, maybe 2 years from now in 2024, we have again another Netflix series about a potential Mbappe transfer to another club and probably Real Madrid.
Talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. I like the way you positioned this, because he can be the conqueror of France, but if he goes to Real Madrid and wins the Champions League, many have done that prior to him. So it is a great way that you positioned that. And that's probably been the big selling point to him as well, because I'm sure the money's all there. All right, let's talk about Real Madrid, Liverpool this Saturday, Champions League final. What's the sentiment in Madrid?
I think everyone or the majority of fans and, of course, the press see Real Madrid as clear favorites for the final. It's normal. They have won the league. They have won the Spanish championships 13 points ahead of Barcelona. Has been quite easy for them. But this time, of course, there's the sense of euphoria. But they have their motivations to think they are clear favorites to win their 14th UEFA Champions League title. Because in this edition of the UEFA Champions League, they have really shown how to play these kind of games. They are capable of everything. That's one of the trademarks of Real Madrid, being able to play and to know how to do in certain situations in this kind of competitions, in which a small error, a particular situation can get you in or out of the competition. They did that against Paris Saint-Germain. They did that, of course, especially against Manchester City in semifinals. That comeback was surreal. And of course, that makes them think they are clear favorites against Liverpool. In addition, of course, Liverpool need a boost of energy after losing the Premier League title yesterday or last Sunday to Manchester City. But they have had a streak of injuries. The last one, Thiago Alcantara, which is such an important player for Jurgen Klopp in midfield. So in injury terms, I think also Real Madrid has a slight advantage over Liverpool because of this streak of injuries they've had. Among Barcelona supporters, there's this feeling that apart from being able to know how to play in particular situations, Real Madrid have always that strike of luck in the moments when they need that piece of luck, that lucky situation. And that's again the case. They are playing the Champions League final against a fantastic team such as Liverpool, and Liverpool are beginning to lose players for the final because of injury. So everything combined, Real Madrid winning the league title, spectacular performance in the Champions League, comebacks, injuries by Liverpool, everything combined, that's what makes Real Madrid, in the eyes of the supporters and the media, clear favorites for Saturday's final.
Talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, Spain. Great guest of Soccer Matters, always on our ESPN networks. Let me just take you into what is a pretty interesting year for Barcelona, for Xavi. How's Barcelona sort of talking about the year that they've had? Obviously, it's progress, but how do you see it being in Barcelona?
It's not been a good season, that's for sure. And Xavi Hernandez recognizes it's a season to forget even. But the thing is, Barcelona have laid the foundations for the future.
So there is some progress, though, right?
Yeah. That's the most important thing for this season. Because as Xavi was saying in press conference these last days, the most important thing is that Barcelona, let's say, has saved the season. It could have been a lot worse than it has finally been. They've been second in the league. They got their qualification for the next UEFA Champions League. They will be playing the Spanish Super Cup. Of course, they were out of the Champions League, out of the Europa League against Eintracht Frankfurt, which then became champions, of course. But it's not a team, I think, at the same level as Barcelona. They get out of the Copa del Rey. It has not been a good season, of course. But in terms of physical preparation, in terms of their idea of play, in terms of going back to what made Barcelona great, they have laid the foundations for the future.
What about the roster? What about the roster? The rebuild seems to be good.
That's the thing, and that's the most important things that we have to watch to this coming weeks, because it's the most important thing to do right now. As I said, you have the foundations, then you have to build or rebuild the house. Xavi knows which players have to stay or wants him to stay, and knows what players need to leave Barcelona. There's a difficult financial situation. Again, you probably need to sell players, which for Xavi could be important, like Frenkie de Jong, because of course they will give money for the club to try to sign new players. It will not be easy, but the thing is, Barcelona will try to sign players that help rebuild the squad, that help rejuvenate the squad, that help strengthen the squad. The idea is having two players for each position. It's very important for Xavi that you have two players that can establish a competition for each position. For example, Jordi Alba, you don't have a competitor for Jordi Alba in his position. Jordi Alba is always playing. So this is not good for the team, because competition is always good for players. And there are some very, very important and interesting challenges for Barcelona for this summer transfer window. They will have to overcome financial difficulties. Let's see how they do. It will not be easy, but the will, the desire to build a younger squad, a better squad, and to keep working on this idea, on this style of play, it's the way for the future. And I would say this, that Xavi is optimistic about that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 here. Let's go to Atletico Madrid. Obviously, a big send-off for Luis Suarez, Hector Herrera. I want to take you to Hector Herrera first, because he is coming to Major League Soccer, playing here in the States. He will come to the Houston Dynamo. What will Hector bring to MLS? What will Hector bring to the Houston Dynamo, in your opinion?
I think it's a very good signing for Houston Dynamo and for the MLS, because sometimes even here in Europe, you still see the MLS, although the progress of the competition has been astonishing in last seasons, but European fans still see the MLS as a league for players that don't have the level for playing at the top level in Europe. And that's not the case, I think, for Hector Herrera. Hector Herrera is a player that can give still, in my opinion, 2 or 3 years of good football, a player with a sensational work rate in midfield. Of course, he has not been a star in the Spanish league, but he's a player with lots of experience, not only in European leagues, in Portugal with Porto, in Spain with Atletico Madrid, top teams in the Portuguese and in the Spanish league. He has played dozens of Champions League games, and that's lots of experience to enhance the quality of Houston Dynamo and enhance also the quality of the MLS. And of course, I think it's an impact signing for Houston Dynamos. Also, marketing-wise or image-wise, he's a Mexican. I suppose there are many cross-border fans in Houston. So having a Mexican player, which is a top-level player still, maybe not a star in Spanish football, but such a good player, playing for the Dynamos, playing for the MLS, I think that's really a very clever signing for the Dynamos. And I really hope he reaches a good level and provides good performances for the team, really. I'm sure he can do that.
Jordi Suñé, TV3, joining us here. How hard did Diego Simeone try to keep him?
Not that much, because as I was saying, he was, I wouldn't say an important player for Simeone, but he was kind of a joker, a player who you could rely on in case of need. He was not a starting 11 player normally, Hector Herrera, but he has played more games in the second half of the season. He gave depth to the roster. He was not one of the most important players in the team, but he always delivered when he was playing. Of course, if Simeone could have kept him, it had been okay for him. If not, I suppose Hector was also eager to come to the MLS to start this new experience. Okay, no worries at all. He was running out of contract. It's not a disaster for Atletico Madrid losing Hector Herrera, but anyway, he was a good player for Simeone anyway.
Yeah, and he wants to be getting first team football ahead of the World Cup for Mexico.
We're talking. I also suppose so. Yeah.
TV3 here joining us. Now, what about his relationship with the fans and the way he carried himself? You know, from your perspective, because that's always important. Because a good friend of mine, Efraín Flores, gave him his debut at Pachuca in Mexico, and we hear a lot of great stuff about Herrera, his coachability, his leadership, his experience, his ability to mesh with teammates, all of these good things.
He'll have to adapt again, I think, to another fan culture. He's coming from Atletico Madrid, which has one of the, I would say, hottest fan bases in Spanish football. You see Simeone, how in every game he tries to bring passion to the crowd, to enlighten the crowd with all those gestures, trying to put pressure on the crowd in order to the crowd putting pressure on the players. So that's a fantastic environment, and that's a fantastic ambience for playing for players, of course, like Hector. That will be different. Of course, in other terms, and as you were saying, coachability, work rate, as I was saying before, he's a phenomenal worker. His work rate is extraordinary. No problems about that. But yeah, the environment will be different, and he will, I think he will need to readapt a little bit. He's also coming before Atletico Madrid, he was playing for Porto. It's not such a hot fan base, of course, but it's different. But he starts from a good position, because in sporting terms, I really think he will adapt quickly, and all the other aspects can be sorted on during the first month. So yeah, I don't think you will have to wait for long for watching the real Héctor Herrera playing for Houston Dynamos. Really.
Jordy, as always, thank you so much for coming on. Jordy Sunyer, TV3. I hope everything is great in Barcelona and you always
have
great insight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for having me on. See you soon. Bye-bye.
That is Jordy Sunyer, TV3, and we really appreciate him. The show and this segment, sponsored by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 512-865-6710, bilingual, John of this firm, personal injury attorneys. They will handle your case. Soccer Matters in Austin, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We take a break. We come back. Ian Cheeseman will join us from the city of Manchester.
And if whoever it drops to can show the calmness that Rodri did a few minutes ago, it'll be a title winner. De Bruyne dancing into the area.
All right, final segment of the night tonight. And again, Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, is brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, whatever it is. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You need representation. So you call 512-865-6710 to get the best. It is John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com, bilingual, at 512-865-6710. All right, so many of us witnessed Manchester City's fourth title in five seasons, incredible drama, parade today in the city of Manchester. Ilkay Gundogan comes on in the 76th minute, scores, and within 5 minutes, it is 3-2 after being down 2-0 to Villa. It's another one of these remarkable Manchester City comebacks. Ian Cheeseman is a Manchester City correspondent currently. He's a vlogger at Ian Cheeseman on Twitter. Ian also, 25 years, was the BBC commentator, has a tremendous history. Here's my interview with Ian Cheeseman on Manchester City. Well, Ian, the first pretty simple question is, what was it like being at the Etihad yesterday and experiencing that?
I've experienced a lot of things in my time watching Manchester City, almost 2,500 matches now that I've been in the stadium watching City games, from Colin Bell, Francis Lee and Mike Summerby right through to this modern era. And apart from the 2012 Aguero day, which still stands out as the best ever day, and I don't think will ever be surpassed, that was right up there as probably the next best. Having said that, I'm now so used to Manchester City being the dominant force that they are, the brilliant team that they are, with this superb manager, that actually, whilst, well, not everybody, but a lot of people around me were panicking when Aston Villa led 2-0, the woman next to me looked forlorn, and I just nudged her and said, don't worry, they'll come back and win this 3-2. Just relax, enjoy, and savour the moment, because you know how good this team is. And I meant it wholeheartedly. That wasn't bluff or me trying to be a smart aleck or something like that. That's what I actually felt in my soul. I'm a different person now. I'm not behind the microphone anymore. I mean, back in 2012, I was ball-by-ball commentator, and so it was my job professionally to be very excited, but I'm actually quite a quiet person, and I suppose the lockdowns, VAR, I'm not as connected to the club as I once were, have slightly took away some of the passion that I once had. I'm sorry to admit that, but things affect you as you go older. Obviously, I was still there to enjoy the day, and I did enjoy the day, but not quite in the same way that it was for me anyway 10 years ago. So I felt as if I was almost the wizened person who was saying, listen, I can see what's going to happen here because I've got that dispassionate side to me, which is the journalist as well as being the fan. And I can see what's going to happen. And I never doubted for one second that they would come back and win it. But to do that and to do it in the way that they did, it was amazing. And for me, I got to know Fernandinho a little bit when he first came to the club, when I was still closer to the players than I am now. And he sent me a private message thanking me for the little bit of help that I've given him and the contact that I've had with him. So that was quite exciting for me. And then there are two players who were playing out there who mean different things to me for different reasons. My mum was German. She was born in a place called Gelsenkirchen, where you might know that's where FC Schalke 04 play. And also, although Ilkay Gundogan actually played for Dortmund, the arch rivals of Schalke, he was actually born in Gelsenkirchen and he's the only player to have been born in Gelsenkirchen ever to have played for City. So that makes him a pretty special player to me. And on the other hand, my father-in-law is a Ukrainian. And so my wife has a sister in Ukraine near Lviv and some nieces and nephews and people like that. And so therefore, that story is even closer to my heart than it is to everybody else's. And after the game, I had the privilege of waiting around a little while. And I actually got to talk privately to both Ilkay and Olex and told them my story. And Olex gave me a big hug and thanked me, and he got quite emotional. And it's those personal contacts that brought it back to me as to just how important it is, not just for us as spectators, but also the players. And one other story I should tell you is that in the job that I do now on YouTube, I basically try to tell fan stories before and after every game. And so I try to find interesting people with different stories to tell, which takes quite a long time actually and quite a lot of effort, because you never know how long it's going to take to find that little nugget of somebody who has an interesting story. And I went into the South Stand and I met an older guy who told me that his son had been in a car accident several years ago and had suffered a brain trauma, and he used to go to the games with him, and that his son would be sitting at home watching it on TV while he was on his own at the game. And that really touched me. And it reminded me that I have a friend in broadcasting as well, who's not very well at the moment, who also couldn't be at the game. And it reminds you, if you ever needed reminding, that football is about a family, that the fans are the family, that it isn't just about the winning and losing. It's about the shared experience and about just the pure emotions of watching the beautiful game. Even if City had lost that game, that wouldn't have changed. Then there would have been almost, and I use this word advisedly and not in a flippant way, but almost a shared grieving when you lose the game. And that's the part of football that I love. It's an escape. We all have problems. We all have financial difficulties. We all have health problems. And I'm not exempt from any of that. But when I'm with the people who have shared passion for the club that I support, it brings it home to me even more. And I'm very proud of the work that I do now to try to share what I hope is the good side of football, that togetherness among supporters, and to accentuate the positive. And so there was a lot of emotions went through my mind at that game, not just about the football on the field, but about the people I was thinking about and what it meant to us all. And of course, those players are human as well, so what it meant to them too.
Talking to Ian Cheeseman, Manchester City correspondent. You see his vlogs. He's at Ian Cheeseman on Twitter. 25 years with the BBC. He's got a remarkable dossier following football and bringing out the personal side of it here. Let's talk a little bit about that minute when Gundogan comes on, scores in the 76th minute. The stadium changes. I'm watching at home, to your point, and I'm seeing people in tears. And it just must have been remarkable to see how this thing just flipped 180 degrees, even though you predicted it, Ian.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got to say that, you know, occasionally I've been critical of Pep Guardiola. I think he got it wrong in the Champions League final last year. And actually, I think he got his team selection for this game wrong too. As much as I love Fernandinho, I don't think he should have started that game. But he got it right with his substitutions. He brought Zinchenko on and shuffled his back four to make it a lot more solid. And when he brought Gundogan on, who you may have heard Pep praising to the hilt after the game, he knew that he was the right player to pop in up in the right places to finish the moves that City constantly create. It was a stroke of genius, not just from Pep, but also from Ilkay Gundogan, who's been a bit of an unsung hero. He's not everybody's cup of tea. He's not the top scorer necessarily, and he's not flamboyant. He's very quiet, withdrawn, and he paroles that little midfield area very, very diligently in an unspectacular way. But he knows what he's doing, and I'm so glad that he's now getting the credit for what happened in that game, scoring those two goals. Clearly, it wasn't just down to him. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne was magnificent in that game, as he has been in so many games recently. His inch-perfect cross for Gundogan's second was something to behold. Obviously, Rodri scored the other goal, and that was an inch-perfect slotting of the ball into the bottom corner. But what I would say is, inside the stadium, as soon as the first goal hit the back of the net, the place exploded. It really did. It was like the Aguero moment at that moment. And I knew, I'm being a smart aleck because I thought they'd get two more. But people in that stadium, it felt like as soon as that first one went in, really started to believe again. When the second one went in, it felt inevitable that there would be a third goal. So once the avalanche started, it was unstoppable. And you know, when we first moved into that stadium after leaving Main Road, after all those memories that we all had there, people wondered whether the stadium would ever have that atmosphere and that history. Well, it has now. There have been so many big moments that have happened, whether it be title deciders, whether it be Manchester derbies, whether it be Liverpool games, whether it be against anybody really, Champions League semi-finals. But you know, we've all and the crowd have got into it, because City fans are very loyal, but they're not as numeric as some of the fans from other clubs around the world. You know, because they weren't there at the beginning of the Premier League explosion. So you know, you're speaking to me from America, and when the Premier League first started getting blanket coverage all around the world, people latched on to United, to Liverpool, to the London clubs, to Real Madrid, to Barcelona. And City at that time were in the doldrums. They're in the third tier of English football. And it's only really in the last 10 years that they started to come to prominence. I mean, I have a very good friend now in Colonel Doug Hurley, one of the astronauts who was on the International Space Station, who is a City fan, who told me his journey into being a City fan. And it was all to do with 2012. And I've been speaking to him today, and he was watching the game yesterday. And I know how much now it's capturing the imaginations. I mean, there's a Houston Space Citizens branch in Houston, and I know City are playing there in pre-season.
Austin, San Antonio, all over, yeah.
Absolutely.
Over Texas, yeah. Where I am. That's before we talk about the entire country.
Absolutely. And I've savoured that myself. I mean, I wish I could come back over to Houston for the pre-season game, but I'm not wealthy, I'm not rich, I have to make choices, so it doesn't look as if I'll be coming over. But I understand and feel the passion that those supporters have over there. And it was a delight to be with them last time I came over. And the fandom of City is definitely growing. And events like the events of yesterday aren't going to do that any harm, are they?
Pep Guardiola, Ian, we're talking to Ian Cheeseman, 25 years at the BBC, does incredible work, telling a lot of the fan stories too. I love the positivity of that too, Ian, in a world that sometimes isn't so positive, and that would even include the football world. Just your thoughts on Guardiola and his management style. You've been around him, you've seen things that we haven't. Just take us into him, because he seems to be this fascinating character. Obviously, he's got all the ties to Johan Cruyff and way, way back at Barcelona. But just some of your observations.
Well, as you say, I watch him a lot, both in the stadiums and press conferences, and I've had the pleasure of speaking to him directly as well. And he strikes me as being an exemplary human being. I would be very proud to have him as a friend. I mean, he everything he says and does the whole way, carries himself, is full of respect and full of kindness and all the things that I value, integrity. He was asked recently, for example, about whether or not he would walk away from City if some of the critics' comments about, you know, sports washing, whatever, proved to be true. And without hesitation, he said he would, and I believe him. So I have him in the highest esteem. As a coach, he plays football. I'm quite old, really, these days, I have to admit. And I first fell in love with football in 1970 when Brazil won the World Cup in Mexico 4-1 against Italy in the final. And great, great goals in that game. Players like Carlos Alberto scored the greatest goal, in my opinion, still ever seen. And Jairzinho and Rivellino. And they just played the ultimate in beautiful football. I never thought I'd see it again. In 82, Brazil played that football. And again, it was magnificent with Socrates and Zico and Adair and people like that. I then started watching Barcelona when Ronaldinho was playing and Eto'o and Messi started to come through. And Guardiola was in that team. And then he started to coach that team. And I watched the type of the way that they played, and it was very similar to what I grew up, and the thing that enthused me the most, this great Brazilian team, the ball on the ground, all about passing and moving, not about being cynical, not about kicking people, not about being destructive in the game.
You saw a lot of the cynical times of English football. I know you did.
Yeah. So when he eventually came to City, I'm thinking, this, I can't believe this is happening. This is like pinch me time. This is the guy that I would have dreamed to be City's coach. Everything he stands for, he has put in front of me on the pitch. City are not a cynical side. In fact, if you were being critical of them in terms of winning things, sometimes you might argue that they're not quite cynical enough, that maybe they just need a little bit of an edge now and again. But you know what? I wouldn't swap Pep Guardiola for any coach that's ever coached in the game. Even if he never wins the Champions League, and I sincerely hope he will and believe he will in the next year or two, but even if he doesn't do it for City, I wouldn't swap what City have now for any other coach or any other era. If City had lost that game yesterday or drawn and Liverpool had won the title, I would not be calling him for him to go, even though City would have a trophyless season. I would still be thanking him for being at our club, for carrying himself like he does, and for playing football the way that he does. It is sometimes a little bit vulnerable in cup ties against equally matched oppositions because of the cynicism sometimes that the opponents might show. I don't mean that awfully to every single team, because I really admire what Liverpool are doing at the moment. And obviously Real Madrid were nowhere near as cynical as Atletico were in the previous round of the competition. But still, if there is a pure team of playing pure football, it is this Manchester City under Pep Guardiola. It won't last forever, but as far as I'm concerned, I would give him a contract for the rest of my life if it was up to me, because he is the man.
4 out of 5 titles in the Premier League for Pep Guardiola. Only 4 other managers have done that. Ian, this is great stuff. Enjoy the great parade. I bet it's an amazing time in Manchester. We thank you very much for coming on, sharing your expertise and your insight. And we look forward to having you on again. And let's work on getting you over here for the July 20th Club America game, which I'm sure right now is probably not on the minds of anybody at Manchester City. But July 20th in the U.S., it'll be City on tour against Club America. And we'll get a shot at seeing the Premier League champions here in Houston, which is amazing. Ian, thank you so much. So that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to all of you who tuned in here tonight. It was a remarkable past weekend in global football, right on down to Austin FC and their match. But just spectacular stuff there. Appreciate Ian coming on the show and talking about Pep Guardiola and those 4 titles in 5 years from his insight. And it was a different insight, but a great one. We will remind you, you get the podcast of this show at hornfm.com. You hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock. Our great soccer t-shirts presented by LamontBrands.com. Soccer Matters t-shirts, all the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness, fundraising. This show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness as well. And you can purchase the t-shirt. And by the way, a great friend of mine, Jan Christensen, was holding it up in the Parken Stadium in Copenhagen, Denmark, as FC Copenhagen won the Danish Super League title. That does it tonight for Ty Henderson. I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, each and every Monday night in Austin, Texas, soccer matters.
From the UBO Business Services Studios, you're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required. Refund available for 60 days after purchase.
Having an issue with ED might begin in the bedroom, but it doesn't end there. It can also do a number on your confidence. But know this, you're not alone. 30 million guys deal with ED in the U.S. Fortunately, treating ED is now more straightforward and less awkward than ever, thanks to Hims. Through Hims, you can get the generic form of Viagra, which uses the same active ingredient for just $3 per use. Just go to 4hims.com and chat with a medical provider online, and if appropriate, you'll be prescribed the ED medication that's best for you. And it'll be shipped free to your door in discreet packaging. Simple. Plus, Hims gives you unlimited follow-up visits with medical providers. Get your confidence back at 4hims.com. Love your results or your money back. To get started today, go to 4hims.com/radio. That's 4hims.com/radio for your free visit. forhims.com/radio.
New message.
What up, what up? It's